People are looking for peace. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And being anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is found in Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. But the fourth thing, and we're going to look at this morning, is people are looking for life. Now, I'm not talking about is your heart beating, because obviously it is, or you wouldn't be here. Not asking if you're breathing, because obviously you are, unless you're holding your breath for a minute. And not wanting to know if you're physically living. You see, people say, well, somebody needs to get a life, or what a life this is, or... But how do you define life? Sometimes people say, well, I need a life. Most time anymore, they're talking about a life for Candy Crush where they're playing a game. Amen? I need another life. And they'll text you or message you or send you something through Facebook saying, I need a life, so they can continue playing the game. Is life just a physical existence? Or is it something deeper than that? The life of these shepherds was changed when they encountered the living Christ babe in Bethlehem. I want us to read this morning. If you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of words? Reading God's word. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8. And I hope you've already almost memorized this passage of scripture. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard as it was told them. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, help me to proclaim its truth and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about its truth. Lord, that we would realize what life really is, and we would all possess eternal life in Jesus. Pray you'd help your servant to share your truth. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name and amen. You may be seated. You know, to find out what life really is, sometimes we need to see what it's not. Sometimes by the process of elimination, you can say, well, it's not this, it's not this. You get down to what it really is. So I want to give you some things this morning. What life is not, when we talk about having a life or getting a life or having life. We'll tell you what it's not. See, life is not, number one, about having possessions. See, life is not just living the American dream. You know, we've heard the American dream so much, and I went back and one day, sometime back, and looked up the definition of the American dream. I found it very interesting. It said definition is prosperity through hard work. If you work hard in America, a door is open to you, you can make a lot of money, you can be successful, all those things. Is that a life? You know, the American dream has no limitations on class or race or religion or background. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But let me tell you something. You can have all that, and you can live the American dream according to the definition, and you can still be flat empty. You cannot have a life. See, life is not just having the most stuff. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker that sometimes appears on cars that says, he who dies with the most toys still dies. It's kind of like this, when you die, you can't take what's in the hearse to heaven. You can't have a U-Haul trailer behind it and take that with you. You know, Jesus told the story of a man who had it all, and everything was good, prosperous. He had it all, and he said, you know, I don't know, I have enough place to store all my goods. I'll tear down my barns and build greater. And he built barns, and he said, I'm going to take my ease and eat, drink, and be merry and take my ease, and everything is going to be good. And Jesus said, fool, don't you know that tonight your soul's going to be required of you? And then who are all those things going to be that you've accumulated? See, those things are no value when it's time to die. You know, all the possessions in the world, all the things of the world, all the stuff is not going to mean anything when it comes time when the old ticker stops beating. You know, we don't know when that is. This may be the last day I stand in the pulpit. This may be your last day to be in church. We don't know. Do you have a life? See, life's not just having the most stuff and living the American dream. And life is not just achieving your goals. You know, goals are good if they help us to fulfill the two great commandments. You know what those are? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If the goal is outside of those, you've missed it. See, to love God is to draw closer to Him. To love others is to help build His kingdom. You know, it's not about just acquiring possessions and what you do to achieve them. You know, God blesses people materially. If you got possessions, thank God for it, but don't let that get in the way of your relationship with God. And see, is it just about acquiring possessions, and what do you do with them when you achieve them? You've got these goals in your life. I want to achieve this, I want to achieve this, I want to achieve this. What do you do when you get there? What then? I remember Bobby Bowden, who used to be the coach at Florida State, he's retired now, telling a story about talking when one of the young athletes came in, five-star recruit, and guy just heralded going to be a future pro player and everything. And he said he's talked to most of his young men this way. And he asked the young man, he said, what do you want to do with your life? He said, man, I want to be an All-American football player. Bobby Bowden said, great, what then? Well, I'm going to go to the league and play there, make a lot of money. Bobby said, that's great, what then? He said, well, I guess one day I'll retire and I'll have a lot of money and take it easy. And what then? He said, well, I do want to get married, maybe have some kids. And he said, okay, what then? He said, well, I guess I'll just live it easy and take it easy the rest of my life. And Bobby said, what then? What are you going to do when you die? See, all those things amount to nothing if you don't have Jesus. I'm going to give you a test this morning right quick. If the things you possess today were gone tomorrow, how would you react? If it was all gone. Let me give you another little question. If you could never acquire anything more than what you have right now, if this is the top out, if you want to say, in your life when it comes to possessions and things, what would you do? Now let me ask you this question. Do the things that you possess you, or do you possess them? Listen to what Jesus said. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. If I remember right, that was what Jesus said in summation after he talked about the rich man who died, and he built all these barns, and he took his ease and eat, drink, and be merry, and all of a sudden he was going to die that night. And Jesus said, your life doesn't consist of what you possess. And beware of covetousness, wanting things and wanting more and all these kind of things, because that's not it. The bottom line is, life is not about having things. Let me give you another one there we can take in to eliminate what life means. Life is not just having a position. You know, everybody, and I think it's part of our human nature, everybody wants to make their own decisions, be their own boss. Get an amen? I don't particularly like people telling me what to do. I mean, that's our human nature. But you know, it really goes back to the garden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve and said, you can be your own God, knowing good and evil. Basically, you can be your own boss. And people don't want to submit to authority in our world today, especially in our nation today. It's amazing. Children don't want to be obedient to their parents. They want to submit to their authority. Wives don't to their husbands. Husbands don't want to submit to the Lord first and then serve their wives like they should. We don't want to submit to our employers. Players, you see it every time you're watching sporting events, don't want to submit to their coach. But the biggest thing of all, and I think this is the biggest sin in America, is most of us don't want to submit to God's will and His word. And all that is rooted in the rebellion back in the garden when they wanted to be their own God. Sometimes you hear it said something like this: well, don't tell me what to do. I can do what I want. I'm an adult. Boy, I can't wait, you young people. I'm 18 or 21 or whatever it is, and I can do whatever I want. I can make my own decisions. Can I let you in on a little secret? Everybody submits to somebody. Each of us have authority figures in our lives. Parents, employers, teachers, government. You might say, well, I'd like to have my own business. Dale has got a lot of experience in that. I'd have my own business, and Dale would back up what I'm fixing to tell you. So, well, I can have my own business. I can do what I want. I can run it like I want. No, you can't. You got to adhere to the government and EPA and OSHA and the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board. And you got customers. And if you don't listen to them, guess what? You won't be in business long. Hello? Can I get amen, Dale? Even if you got your own business, you're not in charge. You know, we're not in charge of our lives. And life is not being free to do whatever you please. And so I don't care how much money you have, you can't do anything you please. I read a little account not too long ago. Somebody won one of those mega lottery things, and I hope and pray that you don't play the lottery. You're wasting your money. The odds are not good you're going to ever win. And if you do and get all these riches, it'll destroy you. But I read about this one person who won the millions mega lottery thing, won $886 million. Guess what? The government gave them two options. You can have $318 million over time in the rest of your life. In other words, government's going to take half of it up front. Hello? Or you can have $170 million in cash. In other words, they're going to take three quarters of it up front. See, there's taxes to pay. Do you know we're all accountable to somebody? There's legal limitations on our life. I can't drive down Mooresville Boulevard at 80 miles an hour. There's physical limitations in our lives. I can't do the things I used to do when I was younger. I used to love to play basketball in high school, rec ball, and that kind of stuff. Carol used to referee when I'd play sometimes. That's before I was saved. Sometimes I hope he didn't remember some of the hot-headedness I had when I played. Hello? I haven't even shot a basketball in years now. I don't even know if I could shoot a free throw anymore. You get older, you get physically limited in what you used to do. And there's human shortcomings that we have. You know, I can't go outside and fly like a bird. I can't run 60 miles an hour. There's certain things I just can't do. It's humanly impossible for us to do a lot of things. And so many family members depend on us and neighbors depend on us. We're all accountable to somebody. And life is not living without consequences. See, every decision you or I make, and young people, every decision you make, there is a repercussion, whether good or bad. I saw somebody the other day put on Facebook, be sure to set your scales back 10 pounds before Thanksgiving. I think I needed to set mine back 20. But see, if we love to eat nanner pudding. But those decisions come repercussions. If you eat too much, can I tell you, you're going to get fat? If you eat too much, you're probably going to have bad health. If you don't exercise, and Beth could tell us about this, your muscles are going to deteriorate. If you don't work, you're not going to be able to pay your bills and maybe not even eat. And there's a generation out here today that thinks that you can just live how you want to, and everybody owes you something. You can do whatever you want to. They want to live independently of the world around them. It doesn't work that way. Paul says, no man liveth or dieth to himself. Everything you and I do has a repercussion. Every decision we make has a result. But people say, after all, I can do what I want in my life. No, it's not. But the biggest thing, if we ignore God's word, we're going to reap the consequences. Do you know there's spiritual consequences from living apart from God? Someone said it this way: if you live apart from God in this life, you'll live apart from God forever in hell when you die. See, life is not about having a great position. If you got a great position, praise the Lord. Use it to His glory. But don't put your faith in the position, because one day you won't have it. Let me tell you something life is not, too. Life is not just enjoying pleasures. You know, God gave us a lot of physical pleasures in this life. You know, Jesus talked about in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, that we're eating and drinking and giving in marriage and marrying. And God gave us pleasures in this life, but they're to be enjoyed within the rules. Food is to be enjoyed within the rules. You eat too much, you eat the wrong things, there's going to be a consequence. Music, if you listen to music and honors God and doesn't desecrate and honor sin, there's enjoyment in that. There's enjoyment in a physical relationship, but within marriage, not outside of it. There's activities we enjoy in entertainment and recreation. One day, though, we'll be too old to do some of those things. One of the sad things in our world today is people are using external stimulants to try to bring joy and life into their life. They're using drugs and alcohol and music. My dad, somebody addressed me the other day as Mr. Smith, and I said, no, Mr. Smith died in 1999. I'm Steve. I remember my dad used to, in his latter years, he started suffering from many strokes. But by the last 10 years he was alive. And he told me one time, he said, I feel like a big oak tree. Somebody's taking an axe and slowly chopping down. He used to love to watch the Gaithers on TV. He was confined to a wheelchair, you know, in his bed. But, you know, there came a point again because of the many strokes to see double. And they put little prisms over his glasses to kind of straighten it out. And that worked for a little while. Then he couldn't see clearly anymore. Lost his hearing till he couldn't hear very well anymore. Loved to eat. Loved to eat little Twinkies. After a while, he lost his taste. Nothing tastes good anymore. Now, I may have told you this story. It's good for me to remember it, even if it is for you, if I haven't told you. I remember my dad in his last days. My mom made sure people would come in every day, hospice care, and take care of him and bathe him and all those kind of things, because she didn't want him to go to a nursing home. And one day this lady came in, and she was helping clean him up and said, Mr. Smith, we need to give you a shave. He said, I don't want to shave. Yeah, you need to have a shave. We need to shave you. No, I don't want to shave. And went back and forth, and she finally decided to use a little psychology on him. He kept saying, I don't want to shave. I just want to go see Jesus. And she finally said to him, well, Mr. Smith, if you're going to go see Jesus, we need to get you a shave. You'd be looking nice and clean shaven. You see Jesus. She said, he looked her right in the eye and said, Jesus don't care if I'm shaved or not. He got to the point that it was, can't do anything, I can't enjoy anything. Pleasures will flee. Pleasures will evaporate. Life is not about enjoying pleasures, because one day they'll be gone. And there's spiritual pleasures. You know, Moses kind of had it right. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 26. It says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Enjoying the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses understood that the world's pleasures were temporary and fleeting. You remember Jesus, when he talked about the parable of the sower, went out and sowed the seed on the ground, and he said in Luke 8:14, that which fell among thorns are they when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. See, if you're just living for pleasure, one day it's not going to amount to anything. See, life is not about having possessions. Life is not about having position. Life is not about having just enjoying pleasure, living life and enjoying it. See, real life can only be found in Jesus Christ. See, the shepherds found that. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen that was told. Glorifying and praising God. They had found life in Jesus. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. And when he talks about abundant life, he's talking about the quality and quantity of life. And the words there mean beyond measure, overflowing with his blessings. So let me ask you a question. Does your life have meaning? Think about it just for a minute. The Apostle Paul, from trying to be better than everybody else, Paul went to trying to tell everybody about a better way. The Apostle Peter, from being a fisherman to catching fish and men for Jesus. From spending time on the Sea of Galilee to changing the world for Christ. From cursing to challenging people to trust Jesus. Paul's life was turned upside down on Damascus Road. Peter's life was turned upside down when he met Jesus. The early church, they were harlots and tax collectors and salty sailors and common men and women. They were given a new life, a real life, not just an existence. Do you have life? It's only found in Jesus. Only found in Jesus Christ. The shepherds were given hope and peace, and they were shown their purpose and given a new life, an eternal life, a life to live for him. Do you have that? Are you living it for him? If he's given you new life, you know him as your Lord and Savior. He's come into your life. He's saved you. He's forgiven you of your sin. You've been born again of his spirit. You know you're going to heaven when you die in his life. Are you living that life for him that he's given you? I want you to think about something this morning. Jesus is the bread of life, John 6:48. Jesus, John 11:25, is the resurrection and the life. John 6:46, Jesus is the everlasting life. 1 John 1:1, he is the word of life. Acts 3:15, he is the prince of life. John 14:6, Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. See, when you have Jesus, you have life. And Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You don't know your way? He is the way. You don't know the truth? He is the truth. You don't have a life? He is the life. Do you know him? This Christmas season, I hope and pray that you and I will just remember that Jesus Christ is what it's all about. We say Jesus is the reason for the season, but it's much more than that. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our purpose. He is our peace. Do you have those things? If you don't, you can find them in Jesus today. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your strength, your grace, your wisdom, your help, your guidance. We thank you for Jesus, whom you sent to give us life, that we might have it and have it more abundantly, that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray this morning that you have spoken to our hearts. Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't trusted Jesus, Lord, as Lord and Savior, Lord, they do so this morning. There's someone here who needs to confess him publicly, has trusted him, and needs to say, I need to be baptized to show others I'm trusting in Jesus. Someone here, Lord, has just strayed away from your path. Lord, you're always ready to forgive and restore. They would come back to you this morning. Lord, we pray that you just speak to our hearts right now, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute.